Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. When I heard wind of a T-Rex skeleton coming to a museum near me, I've got to be honest, I felt like I was 6 years old all over again. And I'm glad to say I'm not alone. So, the T-Rex skeleton went on display at Auckland Museum this week, and here to talk about her with us is Dr. Brian Gill, curator of land vertebrates from their museum. Brian, tell us about Sue.
Well, Sue is this enormous T-Rex skeleton, and it's come all the way from the USA, and it's showing and has shown in two places in New Zealand. This is the second venue in Auckland.
Where was it before this?
Well, it was in New Plymouth. So it's touring the world and coming to some of the larger museums around the world. So we've got this wonderful chance in Auckland to see just how big this animal was.
The T-Rex is probably the most famous of all the dinosaurs. You know, it's the big angry one that you always see represented everywhere. But there aren't that many examples around the world, are there? I mean, that many haven't been found.
Yes, I believe that only about 15 or 20 skeletons have been found, and the vast majority of those are just partial, just a few bones or a broken skull or something like that. So the thing about this particular one is that it's the most complete one that's ever been found, and there are quite a few bones within the skeleton that have never been seen before. So it's a chance for everyone to see this exact replica and see the size of it. It's nearly 13 meters long and 4 meters tall, and it's mounted in a very dramatic pose with the tail up and the head forward and ready to grab something. And so there's a very interesting story behind the finding of it too,
which is
that these group of dinosaur hunters were out in Montana on some kind of field trip. And they had a bit of a breakdown, and so the bulk of them went in with a vehicle to try and get repair in the local town. And one woman stayed behind so that she could take her dog for a walk. So she did two walks, and on the second one, she stumbled across these bones, or part of them. And so that was the finding of it. And her name was Sue, and that's how the dinosaur gets its name.
Now, before I came in, I was looking up the market rates for dinosaur skeletons, which you can do on the internet. And Sue, the original skeleton, was a particularly valuable specimen. Is that just because of the scarcity? I mean, we're talking 8.4 million US. Was that just because of the scarcity, or are T-Rexes just a bit sexier as well than other dinosaurs?
Well, it would be both of those. It's the incredible rarity of it, the scientific interest and importance, and then the whole T-Rex factor as well. And it was bought by a museum, so the whole idea was to make sure that it went into public ownership so that it wouldn't go into a private collection and be hidden away. So it was a consortium. The skeleton's now owned by the Field Museum in Chicago, but other sponsors, McDonald's, I think it was, and various other companies helped out, and also the California State University System, I think, all to try and make sure that it stayed in a public institution.
Is that an issue, that these things go into private collections and are never seen again?
Yes, well, they can easily go and do that. And I mean, it's hard to imagine what someone would do with a 14 metre long dinosaur skeleton in private ownership, but it can happen, or it could go into some remote area and where people charged a lot to see it, or, you know, so to have it in a public institution who was then able to make casts from it and enable us now
We're not getting the actual skeleton, because that would just be impossible to...
That's right. The real skeleton is kept in the Field Museum, too precious to transport. But they've made a series of very high-quality casts. So we have one of these wonderful casts that's travelled all the way to New Zealand from... It's part of its international tour.
That's quite standard, isn't it? I was in the London Natural History Museum a few years ago and was very excited to see the dinosaurs. And then, you know, you read underneath them, they're mostly casts on display?
Yes, very often they are. But probably each museum's got something that has been found in the local area or that it's famous for. And so you'll end up seeing the real thing there. At our museum, for example, we show dinosaur skeletons and even replicas of the New Zealand dinosaur bones that have been found. They're all just cast. But we have some real marine reptile fossils that have come from New Zealand from the same period as the dinosaurs. So we're able to show some real local New Zealand material through that.
Now, for a long time, I thought there was no such thing as a New Zealand dinosaur. But now you tell me that there's actually a bunch of them.
Yes, well, all the textbooks would say nothing here until 1981, when the first information was published to show that we had dinosaurs in New Zealand. And it's quite an interesting story. This was a amateur paleontologist called Joan Whiffen, who's now, I believe, in her 90s. And she lived in Hawke's Bay, and she saw from maps that the inland Hawke's Bay area in geological survey maps were showing reptile fossils. So she and her mates went into the bush. They had to backpack in and a very remote area, very difficult place to get to in inland Hawke's Bay. And they found the site. They got recovered lots of marine reptiles. And then they found the odd bone eventually that was not quite right. And this first one, which was found about 1975, proved to be a dinosaur bone and was looked at by overseas experts. And the result was published in 81.
So why have they been so hard to find and so rare? Because surely New Zealand would have been, not New Zealand then, but part of a larger landmass. Why has it been so hard to find them?
Well, because New Zealand now is a small country, and statistically you're not so likely to find them. The places where the dinosaurs are found are North America, China, Australia, Africa, where you have large continental, flat, stable desert areas. So if you look at New Zealand, it's a small country anyway. There's not a lot of rocks of the right age. We've got tremendous geological activity going on, which is good in that it can expose fossils, but then it's bad because it takes them away again.
And we're covered in trees as well, I suppose.
And it's too much bush, too much grass. You know, how can you see the fossils? So all those things coming together mean that we're not a likely place. So it's really great that these remains have been found, which show that we had four kinds of dinosaurs in New Zealand. And these bones, dinosaur bones, have been found now in three sites: Chatham Islands, inland Hawke's Bay, and there's one site at Waikato.
Do we know much about the types of dinosaurs that we did have?
Four types, and that's the Brontosaurus type ones, the Tyrannosaurus T-Rex type ones, the armored ankylosaurs, and the vegetarian hypsilophodonts.
But so we had some of the cool ones,
didn't
we?
We had some cool ones, yes, that's right. But the bones are just fragments, and so it gives an idea of the size, and some of them are quite big, including the T-Rex type ones. But it doesn't say what species they were and whether they were the same as ones in Australia or North America or whatever. So we're waiting for that fuller skeleton to be found.
There must be an awful lot of extrapolation that goes on in paleontology, is there? I mean, if you're working with fragments and you've got to determine from that fragment, this was a meat eater, this was a 4-foot-tall meat eater, you know, how much guesswork do you think is involved?
Well, there is a lot of deduction and speculation. Sort of, it's literally a jigsaw puzzle, and there's a lot of, you have to fill in the gaps in a way. And there are great difficulties. I mean, some of the dinosaur bones found in New Zealand are toe bones of the Tyrannosaurus, of the T-Rex type dinosaur. Now, the toe bones are very hard to separate from large bird toe bones like moas, because after all, the birds arose from the T-Rex type dinosaurs. At least that's the latest theory. So the toe bones are very similar. So we have these toe bones where you just don't know whether they're dinosaur or bird. And so they're sort of, theropod question mark.
Do we know what they look like? Because, the standard drawings of dinosaurs are fairly consistent in the way, what colour they are, for example. Do we actually have any idea what colour dinosaurs were?
No, the colour is pure speculation, the pattern. But I think in some situations, fossilised skin has been found, so that the texture of the skin, the scales, etc., that's perhaps based on firmer ground.
So they were scaly. We know yes, that. Not feathered.
Well, some of them were feathered, and I was looking at a book in the dinosaur shop that's attached to our exhibition now, and it's a great big book, and it's showing these wonderful illustrations, and I see that a lot of them now are being shown with, dinosaurs are being shown with tracks of feathers on them, even though they're not flying dinosaurs. They've got feathers down their neck or down their back. So speculative probably, but now that we think that the birds arose from the dinosaurs, it's more and more likely that feathers had arisen first, and that the birds just happened to make use of feathers for insulation and for flying.
So who's coming in so far to see Sue? Because I can, like all geeky kids, I had quite a long dinosaur phase. I loved them. Is it, you know, are you seeing that in the people coming in?
Yes, it's the families, the children, and interested adults, all the school ages. It's right across the whole board, really.
How quickly is the science moving? I mean, you say, you know, when I was growing up, I was into dinosaurs as well, and I know that. Well, firstly, since I was at school, New Zealand has now has dinosaurs, as you just told us, and also certain dinosaurs that they used to think were lying down, essentially, were now standing up. They've completely redrawn some of these things. How evolving is the science?
It's very evolving. There's new new discoveries are made. The situation's changing all the time. And I think that this particular Sue skeleton provided details that have enabled now a much better understanding of T. rex. And this is now shown with its tail upright as a sort of a counterweight, whereas originally the T. rex was shown dragging its tail along the ground, being quite upright with its tail dragged on the ground.
Because the opposite happened with the Moore skeleton, isn't it, which probably you've got probably a lot more information about, that they traditionally always had the Moore with its neck upright.
Yes.
Now they suspect that it actually walked a lot more.
Yes, probably. I mean, that's the upright standing position, but when it was in the bush, when it was moving along, it would have had its neck much lower, more like an emu in the way that it went around, or like a cassowary.
Not quite so impressive for those museum collections, though.
No, that's right. But they still would have been able to stand upright. So I believe that our exhibits are still good in showing that, you know, the maximum height when the bird was in an alert upright position.
Mm. So just finally, how long is Sue there for?
It's until the towards the end of March, 22nd of March.
Oh, so plenty of time over the holidays then.
That's great. Thank you for your time. You can also do overnight stays with Sue, I believe.
I think there's
a whole lot of information at the Auckland Museum website, which is aucklandmuseum.com. Thanks, Brian. And you can catch Sue anytime between now and the 22nd of March at the Auckland Museum. Coming up after the break, we talk about a website so rude we can't even say its name on the radio, and we've got music from the Collapsing Cities.